like the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You want to be just like him in every way?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's good. How many enjoyed the song service?
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
So let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord, but today just seems like just a really, really wonderful time. I don't know why, but that's up to the Lord, so we just trust him for whatever he's doing. I will say it was good to see everybody coming in this morning and being our voting day, everybody coming in and just doing just such an order. That's what I just love, just such an order. You know, the message brings that, an order to believers, especially in the house of God. And so it just really touches my heart, and I appreciate each one of you because that doesn't just happen. Not only does the message bring that to us, but we have to surrender to that. We have to change our thinking and begin to fill those places with our lives. And so what better place for it to show is just coming into the house of God and seeing the order that God's people have. So just really a blessing. Good to have Sister Becky with us today. May the Lord bless you. I know she feels at home. She's here often enough that she's just one of us, so we just appreciate having her here. It's good. I'm just kind of tarrying just for a moment here just so Brother Tim can tally up the votes and everything and so that he can just announce or whatever, and then we'll get into the word. Just remember, next week we have our meeting starting Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then we have a Saturday morning. We're going to come and just have a Singspiration Saturday morning at 10:30. And so everybody get your songs ready. Amen. And so just hope we don't revert back to Pentecost and start calling you out and telling you you're supposed to come up. But anyway, and so then we have 6 o'clock, Saturday night service at 6 o'clock, I believe is the time we have on that. And then, of course, Sunday morning at 10:30. So 10-year anniversary, Friday night service will be exactly 10 years to the day that we had our first service here. It's hard to believe that it's been that much time. But I, for one, will tell you that I believe the Lord has really blessed us. You know, it's not been without trials, been without ups and downs. We know that. But, you know, and maybe I just feel this way because it's my own church family, but I just think we have something special here. And that special something is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It beats in our hearts and makes us what we are. We give credit to him on all that. It's none of us, but it's him. And so we really appreciate all that he's done. And as I say so often, you know, he's always got something better for you. If he has to tell you no, if there ever comes a day where they come and shut the doors to the church and we can't assemble anywhere, rest assured God has something better for us, better than coming here.
Yeah.
Amen. And so just always remember, he's got your back because you belong to him. And so today we're going to speak on a topic called Serving God's Purpose. And we'll go ahead and read the scriptures and pray as Brother Tim is looking over the votes. Chapter 11. Serving God's Purpose. John chapter 11, verse 20 through 27. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, and this is at the resurrection of Lazarus, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last days. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And then I want to read one more scripture in St. John chapter 5, verse 24. Very familiar scripture to us. St. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let's just pray. Our gracious Lord, we just bow our hearts to you now to thank you for this time. And Lord, to ask for your blessings upon this little gathering today and for your little sheep here today. Lord, that you would just come and just speak to their hearts. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you and just ask God that through your great Holy Spirit, you come and quicken your word to us. Lord, because that's the only way it can come is through thy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this day and these things into your hands and a blessing to every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Missing two ballots. Did anybody not turn your ballot in? So, there are two absent today. Sister Pansy's absent. Okay. Sister Shirley.
Everybody has 15 signatures. So.
Okay.
We can count one later.
Okay. We'll finish up at the end of service. Serving God's purpose. Amen. How many wants to serve his purpose? I really, having business to satisfy all the legal things is really not kind of a bump in the road when you come to church, but it's something we have to do. So we'll just lean on the Holy Spirit now. So last week I was talking about falling in love with your God-given position. And I was one of the main things that I was a springboard off of what I was saying last week. I was saying that God expanded himself. I was talking about how that a young man, as a boy becomes a young man, he naturally begins to want to begin to act like a man, supposed to, if he's not perverted, like this generation so much is. But a young man will naturally begin to want to become a act like a grown man, and he will automatically begin to add to his stature, to his status. He'll buy a truck, he'll maybe look for a home, and all those things. And so what he's doing there is he's expanding himself to that which he wants to be part of him, that which he, who he is. And so we realize that God, and I said last week, I say this as a man. You know, Paul said that I speak as a man, right? And sometimes we speak these things just as a man, realizing that it doesn't perfectly fit God. And so this is one of those places when I say that God expanded himself, is the fact that he's always been expanded. He's always included because he's eternal. And so he's always been what he is, and everything that he wanted to be part of himself and so forth was always that way. But just so that we could understand in what we're trying to say is, then I use the phrase that God expanded himself. And so God, just like a young man, we're made in his image. And so God wanted to expand himself to include those things which he loved, include those things which would be positive and be part of and conducive to his program and to his whole entire plan.
Right.
And so in his infinite wisdom and so forth in eternity, always having this wisdom and understanding and knowledge, never able to learn, he always included all those things that would be beneficial and part of. And so when he included those in himself, included them in the realm of life, okay, I didn't say that the other day, but I'm bringing that now. He included those things in the realm of life, of those things which belong to him, those things which are part of him. And so, and I said last week, you know, a young man's not going to include something that's going to be detrimental to him. If he's got his right thinking, he'll only include that which will be beneficial to what he wants to become. And Brother Bram said that you can see what's in a man's heart by the woman he chooses.
Yeah.
Right? So Christ would expand himself to choose a bride. But that choice would tell you what's in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Just like it would be in a natural man. And so as a man expands himself, he's not going to take something in that's going to destroy his life if he's got his right thinking, if he understands. And since God is a fountain of all wisdom and all understanding, then we realize that he's never made a mistake and never will, that he includes into his program those things which belong to him. And once he takes something in underneath him and expand himself to include that into himself, then he will watch over and take care of everything that's his. Because now it's part of him and it belongs to him. And so we realize that God expanded himself to include you and I, to include the bride of Christ, to make her part of the beloved, part of his beloved, what he loves, because that's what that means. It's something that's greatly loved. And so part of becomes part of him because it's what he loves. Yeah. And so we're talking about it. And so we read the quote where Brother Bram talked about it, that proof of God's love for us, it's not in the good things that happen to us, and it doesn't mean he's disapproved of us when bad things happen. But proof of God's love to us is in his beloved, in the fact that he expanded himself to include us, mm-hmm. right? That he makes us part of him. And once you're part of him, then he watches over that and cannot lose that which belongs to him. See, he's infinite. And once he chooses to say, I take this to myself, then he can't lose it. Right? So remember the foolish virgins, you know, when they came and they actually got to the door because they knocked on it, right? But they were late. Yeah. And he said, I know you not, right? That doesn't mean he didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
But the terminology in the Bible, Adam knew his wife. Yeah. He impregnated her.
Right.
So Jesus is saying, I know you not. I'm not taking you, expanding myself to include you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be part of me. And so we realize that that's the way it works. And so it's not the good and bad. It just shows that he loves you or doesn't love you. But it's the fact that he has included you and has brought you in his program to drop his word down into the womb of your heart so that he might grow and live in you.
Right.
That's proof of the beloved. And you might own nothing physically in this world, or you might be a billionaire. It makes no difference. What matters is whether or not that he has placed himself in you, meaning that he has included you into himself, expanded himself to include you. And so we realize that everything in him, or everything that will be in him, always has been in him. Now, I realize they don't teach these things in the denominational world, but that's why God sent us a prophet, so we can get out of those things.
Amen.
And so God sent us a prophet to tell us the truth of these matters. And so as Brother Brent was saying, we'll read a quote, that if you've got eternal life, you always had it. But you just didn't know it yet. Right? The new birth brought that revelation to you of what was in you. Right? That's exactly what it is. And so you realize that this thing that God has done in the end time to bring this revelation to us goes far beyond anything that denominational teaching could ever touch, right? Into the realm that we realize God has got this thing, this is his program, and not one thing's going to fail. It's like Satan is not taking over God's kingdom. It may look like all kinds of stuff, but what's happening out there in the world is just working into God's plan and bringing it to the way he wants it. And so everything that is in him or ever will be in him, as we say, again, I'm speaking as a man, by predestination, we know it always has been in him. Brother Branham says in a sermon called God Who Is Rich in Mercy, he said, now we are part of God. You always was. You don't remember it because you were only an attribute of God. You were only in his thinking. Your very name, even if you ever was in the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world, and he knows what you are. I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out, that you might get away from this fear and scare.
Right.
Right? Because if you don't know truth, then you you have fear and scare.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to mix up doctrine. So I want to straighten things out that we get away from this fear and scare. He said, you don't know who you are, but you are not going to be, but now you are the sons of God. See, you always were the sons of God. And God just wants to make that revelation known to you. So everything that is part of God, everything, in other words, everything that he expanded himself to include, has always been there. Right? It's always there, And if it's inside that realm of the blessed, inside the beloved, part of him, then it cannot die, it cannot fall away, it can't be lost, right? And so, and that's what we want to talk about further as we go this morning. And so, what we're talking about is eternal life. And it's because that's in there, it's what causes you to be able to hear. I have been pondering all week long, this has been going on and on, over and over, he that hath an ear. Been looking at that and studying all the different places, because there's a lot of things the Lord Jesus said, but there are specific things there where he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Right. And when you get to the book of Revelation, John doesn't say ears to hear, but he that hath an ear.
Right.
Right? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so, to me, that speaks very clearly of that God is calling our attention that these things are things for his elect
right.
to pay attention to. Amen.
Yeah.
So, it causes us to be able to hear. And so when I say all this, you realize that Christians cannot die. I'm not talking about in the flesh, right? But Christians cannot die. How many of you remember Brother Branham talking about going to Brother Bosworth? Said, you know, you're dying. And he said, I cannot die.
That's right.
Right? First of all, he died many years ago, right? Many years before that. But you realize that Christians can't die because they hold an eternal position in God from before the foundation of the world. And nothing can reverse that. Now, we might go through something in physical that says death, but we're not dead.
Right?
Right? We might leave, as Brother Graham said, death only changes your dwelling place. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're not dying. We're just changing dwelling places.
Yeah.
And so we realize that. So even though it doesn't look like it while we're here on earth, sometimes, most of the time, and not all the time, it does not look like we are sons of God. Like we read the other day, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll know him, for we shall be like him. So we realize that there's a revelation that's coming to the church at the end time, to the bride, where she's going to see him for what he is, and evidently the rest of the world doesn't.
Yeah.
But she's going to see him for what he is, and when that time happens, we'll be able to look at ourselves and see what we are and see that we are sons and daughters of God, because we're going to recognize him, we're going to recognize ourselves
yeah.
of what we are and who we are. And so while we're here on earth, it doesn't look like that, but yet we must believe God's word and realize that by faith we are the sons of God, and we have an inheritance that's coming to us, and we cannot die. We need to have that kind of faith where we can say, just like Brother Bosworth said, that I cannot die.
Yeah.
I might lay down and my body might go to a grave, but I cannot die.
Right.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ has included me in the expansion of himself to be part of his being. And so Brother Branham tells us that everything that serves God's purpose will have a resurrection. In a sermon called Remembering the Lord, he's talking about a man by the name of Busty Rogers. And he had talking about he baptized him. He said, there I baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his confession. And then he said, and then last week I placed him under the sod at Milltown. And I spoke on the sermon of the perfectness of the resurrection. I have been a missionary and seen different gods and philosophers, And that's all we are, is outside of Christianity, is just only philosophy. And how that they believe this or that or the other. But the great creator who made the creation, there has to be a creator if there's a creation. And if there's a creation, it was made by a creator. And any man's work reflects himself. God is, he's a good carpenter. If he's a good carpenter, he does good work. He builds, and if he's a good mechanic, he does good work. And your work only reflects you. And God's creation reflects God. Right? Now, maybe not the world out here, whatever, but his creation, and he does. But when we're talking about believers, those that serve his purpose, the handiwork of God, you see God in his work. What Brother Branham was telling us. And so Your work only reflects you. And God's creation reflects God, and God made everything for a purpose. And everything that serves God's purpose, when it dies, has a resurrection. Right? How can it die and lay there and stay there? So there's a concept there that I'm wanting you to see today, if you haven't already seen that, is that because you're part of Him, because you're serving His purpose, then you experience a resurrection. And we all have to say, if you're born again, you realize we came into this world, even though being a seed gene of God, we came into this world dead and lost and living a first fallen nature. But then God came and resurrected us. So we've already, if we're believers, if we're already born again, we've already had a resurrection. But He even talking here that if we go to the grave, everything that belongs to Him has to come up because it's part of Him. Right. And it can't lay there. And so there's a concept here in this that all the things that God has to go through a death, burial, and resurrection, even the Lord Jesus Christ did.
Right.
And we all follow that. We all follow this suit. So we all have to experience in our lives a death, a burial, a resurrection. And so, but He is the resurrection.
Right.
So no matter, we might do things, it might cause death in our life, born in sin, shape of iniquity, but He is the resurrection. He is the life, and when He included you as part of Himself, then you have to come forth in a resurrection because you're part of Him, and He is life. He is the resurrection. And so there's nothing underneath the umbrella of His protection, as we're talking, that's ever going to be lost. It's all going to be alive and resurrected. And so, we thank God for that. So, because He is the resurrection and alive, that is why when He went to the grave of Lazarus, Lazarus sleepeth, right? And His disciples thought, well, okay, if he's asleep, he's resting, he'll do well. So Jesus had to come on down onto their terms and finally tell them he's dead. But Jesus, He was only saying that because He was speaking to them on their terms so they might understand that Lazarus, earthly speaking, had died.
Right.
But to Him who is the resurrection and the life, and He knows His own, He knows His sheep, He knows everyone, and He knew that Lazarus was a believer, He knew that Lazarus was one of them, and He knew Lazarus was not dead, but he was alive. He just had transported somewhere else for a little bit. As Brother Branham said, I don't know where he was 4 days off out there. I don't know. And he said, I don't believe you know. But wherever he was at, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, that voice went into that, wherever it was, and called Lazarus back. Because Lazarus was not dead. He was alive. So Jesus said, well, he sleepeth. And so we understand that. Now, Jairus' daughter was not dead, right? She's another believer.
Yeah.
She was not dead. She just sleepeth. And they laughed at him, laughed to scorn him.
Yeah.
And so he had to put them all out, away from him. And of course, wherever she was, he called her back.
Yeah.
Because she was not dead, but she was asleep. And so... the reason why he can say that is because he is the resurrection and the life, right? And he knows what's part of him, right? So Brother Bram says, where Jesus says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. They're everyone dead. And Brother Bram come along and he said, they're lost, because dead means total separation from God, right? He said, they're everyone lost, they're dead, they're, and I'm like, where does he get that? I mean, I wasn't questioning, I was just like, well, but you have to realize that if you are the resurrection and the life, and you know what part belong, what is part of you, and you look at someone and you say they're dead, then they're dead.
Yeah.
Meaning that your resurrection power is not including them into yourself,
right.
Then they're dead. They're eternally separated. But he could look at Lazarus and say, he's not dead. He's just asleep.
Right?
The different ones that have gone on, Brother Harp and Sister Dale and the different ones, they're not dead. They're just sleeping, right? They've just been over there. They're on another side having a wonderful time. And so because he's the resurrection of life, he can say those things. He knows who belongs to him. Because he's expanded himself to include them.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. We believe that. He has expanded himself to include the believers. And because of that, because he takes them onto himself, and like I said, we've always been part of him, then if they die, they must receive a resurrection. Because it's impossible for them not to. Because they're serving his purpose.
Okay.
Now, once you see that working in your own life, this is the new birth. This is what I'm talking about. Once you know that what you were has went away and something else now lives there. Something else has happened inside you that makes your desires turn heavenward. Once you know that's there, when something's born in you, it's not, if it's eternal life, it's not going to die.
Right?
That's why the scripture said you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Once you have that earnest inside you, then that settles it, right? Because you know that that can never go away. It can't die. It's a revelation. Satan can't take it away from you. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Yeah.
And once you see you've got that, then you know you are included in the beloved. You know that he has included you as part of himself. And therefore, you cannot die. And no matter what happens, there is a resurrection in your life. You've already experienced a resurrection.
Yeah.
But there will be resurrection in the body that you live in. We understand that. And so, once you see that, then you know that you have that earnest of the resurrection. Like Brother Ram tells us in the book, the message, who is this Melchizedek? He's talking about Apostle Paul. He said, being eternal with him at the beginning, the eternal life that you had, his thoughts of what you was, only he wanted me to stand at the pulpit and say, and he wanted you to sit in the seats tonight, and then we are serving his eternal purpose. Let me say it this way. He wanted me to stand here and speak this message to you this morning, and he wanted you to be sitting out there to receive it.
Yeah,
right? And so we are fulfilling his eternal purpose.
Right.
When we come here and we speak these things, there is an eternal purpose that's being met here. And so we are serving his eternal purpose. And the one that left home, well, we think of him, right? The one that's left home only come to earth to serve his position. Is that right? Serve his purpose. Is that right? All right. What about you? You left that realm and came here to serve his purpose, right? Amen. And so the one left home only come to earth to serve his purpose. Is that right? All right. And then after it's finished, it's brought back into the glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. Right? No wonder Paul could say when they was building the block to chop his head off, he said, "Oh death, where is your sting?
Yeah.
Oh grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." He said, "Death, tell me how you can make me holler."
Uh-huh.
Right? Grave, tell me how you're going to hold me.
Yeah.
Right? This is what we need to realize. Satan can't hold you.
No.
Right? No matter what you have happen in this world, if everything does go south and you find yourself without a job or whatever, nothing Satan can do can stop this right here.
Right.
Once you realize you've got eternal life. And so Paul was saying, how are you going to hold me? For I am a possessor of eternal life. Amen. He recognized it. Death, hell, grave, nothing could hold him. And nothing can hurt you. Because you got eternal life. He recognized that he was blessed with eternal life. Paul realized that. Once he realized, you know what? There's something in me that is eternal life that God has given to me. He's included me in himself and has shared. And so I can't die. Right? Death can't hold me. Grave has no sting. Death has no sting. Grave has no holding power. Right? This body has no holding power.
Right.
Sin in your life has no holding power.
No.
Why? Because you're part of the resurrection and life.
Right.
You can't die because you're serving God's purpose. You came here to serve God's purpose.
Right.
Amen. And so, I didn't read the scripture, but we're all familiar with where they talk about the woman who was married, and he died, her husband died, and she had a brother, and then she had seven brothers, and then they asked Jesus, said, well, in hereafter, whose wife will she be?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, he said, you do greatly err, right? No, not knowing scriptures for the power of God, because in the resurrection, we're as the angels. We're not married and given in marriage, but we're as the angels, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus said this, he said, God is the God of the living, mm-hmm. not the dead.
Yeah.
Right.
God is not the God of the dead. If you're out here in sin, you're dead in sin, just like the prodigal son. He's off out there dead to his father's house and the everything that went with it. If you're dead, it's because God is not your God. But he is the God of the living.
Right.
And if they're living, it's because they're part of him. If we all have to go through a death, a burial, a resurrection, and here's what my point is that we all must die, but because of his plan, we all resurrect. All of us are part of him. And then when we resurrect to him because he is the life. And so when we are alive, he is our God because he's the one that has made us alive. You see? So he is the resurrection and life, and we're partakers of that. And so that makes him the God of the living, that all things, you know, when the birds and the flowers, they live to God. So they know he is their God. He is their creator. They live because of him.
Right.
And we know we live because of him. We know this little group right here is because of him. He's the one. It's not some great something. Yeah, we recognize that God lives in the lives, and we thank the different ones that hold the different positions and do the things and come in and, to their post of duty. And we do. We give honor to that, recognizing that that's God in each one doing that.
Yeah.
And that has done that. And how thankful we are, because we're rejoicing knowing that he is our God. And so he's the God of the living, not the dead. So how could a part of him, though we would go to the grave, how could it stay there if we're part of him? And how could he wouldn't be our God if we stayed there? Right? But he is the God to the living, not the dead. So I think you understand what I mean there. So once you see that you've been changed, once you see that there's something else, some life in you that has changed you, then you want to live for God. There's a different life in there that wants to express itself. And just as it is with a natural life, a natural life and physical wants to express itself. And we use our members to do it. We help one another. We use our members. The little babies that come into the world, they're just helpless, and we use the life that we have in the natural to express through our members, and we help one another, and we help those that are weak because we're stronger and we can help them. We use our members because that's what life does. You take a mama cow, she takes care of her calves. Mama bear takes care of her baby bears, right? Doing it through the life that they live and through the faculties of their arms and their paws and their claws and all that, that's the life they live, and so they are living for others.
Right.
It's part of that cycle. If they're not doing that, then they die.
Yeah.
I've always said, when you go out and you see an animal living in a certain condition out there, it's because he has what it takes to survive that condition.
That's right.
There's a habitat there for him. Because if he can't survive that, you know, the deer survive because they come and eat all my tomatoes in one night. They survive. I call them a thief, but I guess God cares for deer, right? You know, but they live because they have, and they're just expressing through what they have. They can navigate through the world that they're in because they've been gifted to be able to do it. That's the life that's in them, and that life expresses itself through all those attributes, and they live, and it propagates to all those, and they help their young'uns, and it's part of what makes everything reciprocate and just perpetually go on. The natural life is that way. But then when we have a new birth, when a new life comes into us, don't you think that life wants to live?
Yeah.
Don't you think that if that life wants to live and is permitted to live, that life will not reach out and help others?
Sure.
It'll help others. And though, you know, Brother Daniel and Brother Tony, there might come a day where the Lord takes us, if we're here long enough, takes us, but we will have helped another generation come along. And you too, help another generation come along. But my point is that once you realize that you have a life in you that's part of Jesus Christ, that cannot die, who cares if they come at you if you know you're alive, right? Who cares if they come and do this or do that in the natural? You can't die, and you know you can't die, right? They might run over you with a bulldozer, but they can't kill you, right? They can just make you, as a chariot or something, make you go to the realm you and I want to be in the first place, right? So they can't change it. So it should change the way we think and the way we live when we realize I am a possessor of eternal life, right? And I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to express myself, and I'm going to do everything I can to spiritually make God's family prosper and those that will come after me prosper. Right? I'm going to do that, and no matter what happens to me in the natural, I know I'm a possessor of eternal life, and I'll live because I'm part of Him.
Right.
Life lives within me. Once you realize you've got that something in there that's not what you used to be, but now you've got something that you couldn't put there if you wanted to, but you know something put it there, but it wasn't you. And you know that can't die. You know that it won't leave you alone. You know that if you go and you make a mistake, it's there talking to you about it.
Right.
And for me as a believer, and I hope for you, you're glad that's there. Mm-hmm. That you're glad that it's there, that the Lord won't let you get by with things that the rest of the world can get by with.
Yeah.
So glad for that, because if you don't have that, you're in trouble.
That's right.
But the scripture says that all of His sons, He corrected, right? So you have to be like David, say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm glad that He says no, and I'm glad that He convicts me, and I'm glad that He tells me, you make that right, and so forth. I'm glad because you can't put that there, but if you have it, appreciate it, right? But once you know you've got that, then and you realize He's right. I say that to the Lord all the time in prayer. Lord, I know You're right. Your word is right. You're the only truth there is.
Yeah.
I know this. Everything else is contrary to that, but I know He's right.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And so people might not even understand what it is, but He's right. And once we come to understand the correct revelation, then we'll see that.
Uh-huh.
And so we just want to rally around that which is right. Even if I can't manifest all these truths myself, I have to point to it and tell you, that's right. And I'm giving honor to that. So once you see that's in you and it's affecting you, you want to nurture that.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to do things that will cause that experience to go out and light on a limb. See, once a believer has come and tasted of the Lord and sees that He's good, you don't want to be out of that presence.
Right.
And yet we make mistakes and we do things that hinders that sometimes. But a Christian is miserable if they've ever tasted of the Lord and then they make a mistake. They're miserable until they can get back in that presence.
That's right.
And have that fellowship the way He has meant for it to be.
Yeah.
Why? All it is, all this is that you're learning and understanding the position you actually hold. That you are a possessor of eternal life.
Yeah.
That's why it's there. You think the devil will come and tell you to believe this message? See what I'm saying? So once you know, and if you don't have that, brother, sister, young people, whoever you are, if you can't say, I know something has changed me inside, you start seeking God for it.
Yes.
Honor God. Mm-hmm. Find ways to honor it. Even if you don't feel like you're a Christian, even if you know you got things you're doing that's wrong, contrary, and you haven't had a new birth, honor God in every way you can possibly figure out to do it, because he doesn't miss a thing.
Right.
And I'm not trying to say work your way to heaven, but I'm telling you, you've got to know, you have to have that change inside you. You've got to come to that place where you recognize that you have eternal life in you. That something is different and alive in you. And that's the new birth. That's Jesus Christ himself. And that's his way of revealing to you that you belong to him, that you're a part of him, that he's expanded himself to include you.
Right.
Man. So as Christians, we want to live. We want to expand. We want to do everything we can to express the resurrection that's alive within us. And so everything that has serves his purpose, has a resurrection, and that's why we can say he is our God, because he's the God of the living. And we are alive because he's made us alive.
Yeah.
He's done something to make us not the person. I'm not the person I used to, that would drink and smoke and run around and do all the things. I'm not that person anymore.
Right?
He did that.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Right.
He's done in your life what's been done in your life. You didn't do it. And how thankful you are. And so what's the best way to honor him is to live that life. Express that life. Express that conviction that's telling you you must live differently than the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Express it. And through spiritual arms and hands and legs and speaking, you bless the body of Christ. You work to help the next generation spiritually coming along. Because that's what you want to do as a Christian, as a believer. You're not wanting to chase after Hollywood. You're not wanting to chase after the things that still lay in the flesh, still there. You don't want those things. You want to live for God. You want to do those things that promotes his kingdom, that helps him. And he knew that. That's why because he won't expand himself to take in something that's contrary. So he knew there was an attribute in you that would live right for him, that wouldn't want to live right. Because you're part of him.
Yeah.
Amen. So Brother Bram tells us, he says, now, I'll read the quote here in just a moment. He says, there has to be a dying before there can be a resurrection. So we talk about, oh, there's a resurrection. Well, and we're all partakers of a resurrection. But before we can have a resurrection, we have to be dead. And we realize we came into this world dead, and once you've had a new birth, But this happens. This is a daily thing, not just once in your lifetime. Paul said, "I die daily." Well, I can tell you that if Paul was dying daily because he's part of Christ, then he has a daily resurrection.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to show you: that life in you, the life of God, continually leads you to die to the things of this world and to the things that are contrary to the kingdom of heaven. And if you die to those things because you're part of him, there's a resurrection that comes of a new life. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Graham says, and they have to have a crucifixion before you can have a resurrection. And before the church will ever be able to see a resurrected power, and before I can see a new ministry take place in myself, before you can enter into a new fellowship with God, there has to be a self-crucifixion so that there can come a resurrection. We've got to die to our own thoughts, die out to our own ways, die out to everything that's around us, and go through trials and tribulation, that we might see a new resurrection, a new life. Before a sinner can become a Christian, there has to be a death, then there's a resurrection.
Right.
So you, as sinners, you have to come to the place where you lay down the things that are contrary, the things that you're doing that destroying your life and your future. You have to, by choice, God's not going to force you to do it. You have to, by choice, lay those things down. And if you want a resurrection, you have to do that first.
Yeah.
Right.
Because a resurrection is bringing you up after you've died to yourself. So Brother Ram's saying is, you got to have it. And even a minister, to reach a new place in his ministry, there's dying out that he has to do in order to have those things. And you as believers, you have to die out to yourself before you can have a resurrection in your life. If you want a higher walk with God, there's some dying you need to do.
Right.
We all understand that. Yeah. And until we do that, we won't have that higher walk with God that we want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're a sinner and you know that you've not repented and you've not got that place where you've got that experience in your life that you know something's now alive in you, right? The only way you'll get there is when you die. When you'll lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, "This is what I've done. This is who I am. I've done all these things, these sins and iniquities and all that, and I'm laying them at your feet, Lord."
Yeah.
Right? And He's faithful. But if we, you know, and I've said many times, I talked to a guy, and he said, I know that God exists because I see Him in you, Brother Tony, and I see Him in my dad. He said, but I've prayed and I've talked to Him and I get nothing. And I told him, I said, well, you're not letting go of something. Because the scripture said the day you seek God with all your heart, that's the day you're finding. So you're holding something back there. And I'll say that to everyone here today and anybody who'd be listening. If you're a sinner and you know you're not serving God, and you're saying, well, I've tried, I ain't got, you're not, you, and you know what you're not letting go. You know what parts. See, the prophet, God sent a prophet and knew what He was needing to tell us. He wanted it. He come on and said, listen, there's doors inside a door. Or doors and doors.
Right.
There's places in your house you'll let people come, but there's doors that just are, do not go behind that door.
Yeah.
And He's telling you that you can't be that way with God. With God, you have to open every door of your life. And if you hold back one little door in your life, then you're hindering the blessing of God from coming to you. But if you'll die out to that and say, Lord, come right on in. Here's what I've been hiding.
Yeah.
Here's what I've been doing when my parents ain't looking or whatever. Here's what I'm doing. I give it to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Then there can be a resurrection of the power of God.
That's right.
See, it comes that way. And it's all serving God's purpose whenever you come to that. And so, Brother Brown was saying that, but I want to labor on this just for a moment, something here. Where he said that. He said, you know, before you can enter into a new fellowship with God, there's got to be a self-crucifixion. This whole thing comes by your choice. Jesus could not have died for our sins being forced to do it by Almighty God. He had to do it by free choice. He's the resurrection. He's alive. And he had to experience death, burial, resurrection just like us. We're no different. If it serves God's purpose, it goes through this. And even the Lord Jesus Christ went through this and being our Redeemer. But it had to be a self-crucifixion. They didn't kill Him. Right? They did, but you understand. He said, I have the power to lay down my life. And I have the power to take it up again.
Right.
Right? He's the one that laid His life down. He made a choice to enter into dying that there could be a resurrection in the power of God in His own life.
Right.
And this is the pattern that we have.
Right.
If you want to get somewhere in God, there's a choice you have to make. You have to choose to lay down these things of the world and the things that you're doing. You have to make that choice, and God's not going to make you do it. And you may have your own will, but you have to have your Gethsemane where you say, not my will, not any longer. I'm not doing this anymore. The cigarettes or whatever it is, I'm not doing this anymore, God. It's not my will, but it's your will from now on. And when you do that, then there can be a resurrection of the power of God in your life. So you have to make that. And so you have the ability, because He's your pattern. You have the ability to stand today. You have the ability to say, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to pick it up again.
Amen.
You have power to pick it up again.
Right.
I want you to understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
You have the power to lay down the things that are contrary to the kingdom of heaven. And by doing that, because of the promise of God, because of knowing that you are part of Him, then you know there's a resurrection coming. So it all goes without saying that if you lay down your life, you're coming up again, and it's all in your control.
Amen.
Because He did it He said, because I live, you live also. Brother Bram said, speaking to his bride. But how did she live? Because she makes a choice that I'm turning away from these things of this world. And you may say, well, I was born, raised, I've been in the message all these years, and I walk the message walk, but there's doors you've not opened. There's doors you've not opened. And until those doors get open, we can't go to that higher walk. See? But you have the power to say, I'm laying down my life and I'm opening that door. And I know because of God's promise, I'll come up in the resurrection power. Because I belong to him, and it's the very eternal life that's in me that causes me to be that way.
Yeah.
It's the eternal life in me that causes me to hear the word, and it's the eternal life that's in me that causes me to walk over and open that door that I've kept closed all these years. And you won't gain any more places in God's higher realms until we do that.
Yeah.
So there has to be a dying before there can be a resurrection.
Yeah.
Amen. Because of the promise, because he did it. So how often do you do this? How often can you do this? Every day.
Amen.
Every day. That's why when Paul said, I die daily, then there's a resurrection daily. Amen. So we want to live this life because he has included us in his resurrection. Amen. Free moral agency. He had to do it, and so do we.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Isn't it a wonderful plan?
Yeah.
And let me encourage you today. I know I've spoken to your hearts. The Lord has. I know that. And I'm not all about showmanship or anything like that, but I am all about doing something that works.
Yeah.
And if you know in your life that you've not seriously given everything to God, and maybe today you maybe can't even give everything, but for just some portion of your life, you do this heart searching right now while I'm saying this. But if you know there's some place in your life that you know hasn't been surrendered to him, and you want to be overcomers to that, you talk to him right now. You commit that to him. We'll pray with you if you want to come up for prayer. That's fine. We certainly will do that. But when the day is done, when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, it is your decision, your commitment to God to truly open those doors and truly give it to him. And if you truly do that, he will truly come and he will fill that spot. He will replace those things with resurrection power. He'll stop these things that's destroying your life. But at the end of the day, that's what matters. Whether you come up for prayer or don't come up for prayer, where you shout, run, that whatever, but at the end of the day, at rapture morning, what matters is that we've opened all doors to him.
Amen.
And because the ultimate resurrection is a change of our bodies.
Amen.
Amen. And so we understand that. Let me encourage you. Don't let this moment slip by. We've all done it. We've all put God off. Put God off. Put God off. But what if he catches you in that mode? Right? Remember the parables? Of the men taken care of and the master goes away? And what if he comes back and finds you not being what you should be while he was away?
Yeah, right.
He's given you blessings. He's poured out blessing upon top of blessings for your life, so that you might live in toward him, toward eternal life. And so we certainly want him to come back and find us as good stewards of living what he's given. Because you know what? He's given every one of us natural life. And he wants to know what we're going to do in that natural life. Are we going to live for him? And so, and when he comes back, if we've not done right, then he'll take that talent which was there and he'll give it to somebody else, right? That's what the parable says. Amen. So don't let it pass you by. Make your commitment to God. Dig down deep. Lay a foundation on his word and build upon that. And you may not, you know, Anybody that's built a house knows that there are stages of building that house that you work day in and day out for weeks and weeks, and it seems like it's never changing. If you can build it quick, it can be torn down quick. It takes time to have a real experience in God. It takes a real faith that can stand the storms. Right? I'm not expecting you to go from being a sinner to a fully manifested saint of God in a day or a week or a month or a year. But what we are looking for is for growth, for foundation building. And it may not be a whole lot of things going on or looks like a lot of, but brother, sister, if that true foundation is truly being built in your life, at some point it'll start showing. And what will be shown will be able to stand the storm because it was built on the right thing. Amen. Don't try to build your experience on just, oh, I went to camp and I shouted. But where do you stand at the end of the day when it comes to this word, when Satan comes to tempt you? Where do you stand? See? There's a truth in this message as God's getting to his people. And Brother Graham warned us and said it was every move of God. It was all the fanaticism that followed. There's fanaticism in this message. There's been plenty of it.
Sure.
But there's a truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a truth, and that's what God wants you to latch hold of. And that's my responsibility to keep presenting that to you week after week. Brother Daniel, the same thing. Putting that before you week after week, year after year, so that you are built on the right thing. And so that you don't find yourself like Brother Branham said, I've seen the times whenever the music was playing, everybody was shouting and having a good time, but when the music stopped, they stopped.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I don't think that Apostle Paul, if he was like that, he'd been pretty down in the doves whenever, down in the mully grubs whenever they were building the chop block.
Yeah.
Right? But see, Paul had come to a revelation that I am a possessor of eternal life.
Yeah.
I am serving God's purpose, and because of that, death does not have a sting. Amen. May the Lord bless you as the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, how we thank you for your truth that you have so wonderfully poured out in this last day. Lord, you knew that this hour would be full of all the temptation that is, all the electronic media, and all the different things that Satan seems to consist of. But even in the midst of all that, Lord, you so wonderfully declared your word and made it known to us. Lord, that you labor from the pulpits, labor from the prophet's voice, and the Holy Spirit dealing in our lives daily. But even in this Satan's evening, Lord, you're still getting your word across to your people. And how thankful we are for that. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today or listening in the future, that, Lord, they realize there's doors in their life that they've not opened. We're asking God that you'd be merciful, that they would make that choice right now and commit that to you. Lord, that if there's something they need to make right, they go make it right, whatever it is. But, Lord, we know that you, if they take a step towards you, Lord, you will definitely come in response. So we're just asking, Lord, a special blessing upon each one. Lord, don't let this leave them as they get up and we leave and go find lunch today. Don't let this conviction, this truth, this dealing with our hearts, don't let that leave them, Lord. May it stay there until they come clean completely by committing their lives totally to you. Lord, help me do the same. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.